This is the only one in the Bible, if this were a parable, this is the only one where it gives a name. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and he was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I'll tell you one thing, my friends, if you can try to spiritualize that until it doesn't mean absolutely anything. And I've heard good old Baptist brethren, and I mean, I love them, but I'll just take it for what the Lord has to say about it. The Lord says there was a man in hell. And from what we understand about hell, it is a place of everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This place was a place of torments. Is that what I understand about hell? It most certainly is. This man was in such a torment that he would have taken, and this one that was by the name of Lazarus set out the gate of his house. And this man, the Bible doesn't say, the Lord doesn't say that this man was a great sinner. It didn't say that he robbed the poor to get that money. It didn't say that he got it by extortion. He got it by begging, borrowing, and stealing. It doesn't say that. All it says is that this man was a rich man and that he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a man by the name of Lazarus who was full of sores. This man named Lazarus was in a poor condition. Many have said, and I believe this to be the case, I believe when the Bible says he was full of sores, I don't believe it was just his body. I believe it was his soul. I believe he was in a poor state of condition. And his soul rended and ached because he also knew something about sin. And he knew that he stood in need of a Savior. This one waited outside of the gates of this rich man named Lazarus. And he was such a bad shape that he could not even fend the dogs off that came to lick the sores. He was in such a weakened state. And all he desired was the crumbs from this rich man's table. And this rich man, it doesn't say anything about him, but it says that he died. And in dying, I want to notice some beautiful things to God's children this morning. Notice that whenever Lazarus died, there wasn't any, you can imagine, here's a man that had nothing. They had to carry him and lay him at the gate of this rich man. He had nothing. He was full of sores. And the dogs came up to lick the sores that were on him. A horrible sight there. Can you imagine when this man died, what kind of burial he had had? You know, a lot of us, I've heard women, and I've heard guys say it too. When I die, I don't want anybody to see me there in a coffin. Well, I want you to think about this for a moment. What do you think this man here saw? What do you think his body saw whenever he died? Do you think that they had a big to-do funeral for him? Do you think they had the best burial plot out here like old Joseph of Arimathea? Remember, he had already had his own tomb carved. He put the Lord in it. But he carved that for himself. See, Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy man. Here's a poor man, a beggar. He dies. I bet you a dollar against a donut that the city of Jerusalem, wherever he was located, didn't close down for a day. I bet they didn't have a preacher to stand up over him and say a lot of nice things about him, how that he had given all his goods to the poor and all this. I bet they didn't have a big tombstone with his name written on it. You know, you go out here and look at some of these tombstones, and yes, they've got the big tombstones. Now, what do you think the rich man had? He probably had the big flowery speeches. The Bible doesn't say that, but it goes with the wealth. He probably had all kinds of friends where he had entertained them. It doesn't say that he was greedy with his money. He fared sumptuously every day. He probably had many people come around from miles around. You go read the Proverbs, it'll talk about the friends of the rich. People who have money, they have friends. People who are poor, A lot of times, my friends, the friendship's one of the last things they have in common or have in need of. They need food. This man needed crumbs that fell from the man's table. Lazarus, the rich man, probably had it all, had the tombstone with great wordings of how that he was such a fine man and an upstanding citizen. But who had the best at that time? It was the one by the name of Lazarus. Whenever his eyes closed in death, it said the angels carried him into the soul or bosom of Abraham. That is a Jewish term which means into heaven itself. You know what that encourages me about? Whenever I breathe my last breath here, I don't expect to be alone. You say, why is that? Because the angels carried this man into the bosom of Abraham. He was not alone. He didn't have anything as far as this world's goods. But you know what? He had the joy of heaven. Here was a man that when he was alive, whenever he was alive, this rich man probably wouldn't have wiped his feet on him whenever he came by the gate. But you know what? Whenever that rich man died, he was in hell and in torments. He was willing to take the water off the fingers of Lazarus. Does that sound like a over-spiritualized? He would not even have wiped his shoes on him at the gate. But he was willing to take the water off of his fingers once he was in hell. And not only that, he was able to see Abraham afar off. Many will say, oh, that's how the children of Israel, they rebelled against God and therefore they were cut out of the spiritual kingdom. But remember the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he said this to him. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't want to do that. I'll come back to it. He says, Father Abraham, Father Abraham. That brings us to another good point. Here, there was a multitude of the Jews in that day who believed that they were going to go to heaven because they were of the stock of Abraham. In other words, I was born a child of Abraham. You go find time and time again. You go to Matthew, whenever John the Baptist was baptizing in the third chapter. He says, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. You remember the Lord himself, they were wanting to chide with the Lord. And they answered him and said, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? You know how that Jesus said, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. And he continues on, and he said, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. He said, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So he's an Israelite. He's of the nation of Israel. He says, Father Abraham. He's telling him, I'm of the seed of Abraham. But that doesn't mean one thing. What it means, what is important, you go and read the Galatian letter, and it says, if you then be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. This was not one of Christ's. It says, if you then be Christ. He was not one of Christ, of God's children. And here he is, there. He's able to see in heaven. And not only that, he's able to remember some things. He knew who Lazarus was. He knew who he was. He knew how that Lazarus had begged at his gate. And here he is no more paying attention to Lazarus, but now he's paying attention to him. He said, just send him to dip his fingers in water and place it in my mouth to cool my burning tongue. Does that sound like a cool hell to you? I certainly hope it doesn't, because it doesn't to me either. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. And I want to just point out something else too. Sometimes people get the idea that if you've got riches, if God has blessed you to have riches, then somehow or another that is a sin. That is not a sin. King David had riches. King Solomon had riches. Abraham was a wealthy man. Abraham went down into Egypt to get riches. That's not the point. Jesus Christ is showing you two pictures here. He's not talking about those who have riches are going to hell. He's not teaching that. But what he is teaching you is the reality of the two places called heaven and hell. He's kind of like rolled back the curtain and let us see in it, into both of them. And sometimes people think because people have it hard in this life, that somehow or another they're not God's children. You know, it goes to the other side of the spectrum. The Jews thought that if you were materially blessed, it automatically meant you had to be blessed of God. And the other side of the spectrum was, if you were a beggar and poor and destitute, and somehow or another the curses of God laid upon you. And Christ here, he's opened up the veil. He's letting you see in both heaven and hell. He says this here. And Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise thou receivest things. But now he is comforted and thou tormented. Beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed. There is a great gulf fixed between heaven and hell. And he says, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. He's saying there is no way to pass in between them. Now, if that were the gospel, if that were the gospel kingdom, you mean to tell me there's no way? I know for certain, personally, a Jewish friend of my father's that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that meant that they can't pass over and get past that, the spiritual blindness. Then I know for a fact that that's not true, because I know that there's, actually I've got writings from a Charles Haley, who was a Christian Jew, who believes and preaches the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one who's also, he's crossed over, and that was talking about a gospel thing. There's been many Jews, the Apostle Paul, Peter, they were all Jews. They crossed over that gulf if it were a gospel dispensation. But the Lord is talking and showing us that there is a great gulf fixed between heaven and hell in which nobody is able to pass through that. And there's been a doctrine taught that people in hell are going to be given another chance. That's what they used Peter's writings for when Christ went down and preached to the souls that were in prison in Noah's day. It was talking about the Spirit of Christ. Christ never went back and preached to any souls in prison. It was a spirit. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ was alive and well in the days of Noah. It was in Noah. He indeed preached to those. He preached for 120 years while he was making that ark. But they never will go down into hell and preach to give them another chance, my friends, because there is a great gulf fixed. And they cannot go from here to there or there to here. And let me ask you a question about this. Now think about this. What kind of fool in their right mind wouldn't want to get out of hell if they had a chance? I mean, how ludicrous. Why even have a hell if everybody's going to be able to get out? See, some things that we're told just doesn't make good nonsense sometimes. But it's not going to be an empty hell, and it's not going to be cool. Abraham, this rich man here didn't give his name. He wanted some relief. And he told him, he said, they cannot come. There's a great gulf fixed. And he said, I pray therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they had Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Remember that verse of scripture I quoted to you, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them.
point is, it doesn't matter if a person is dead and trespasses and sins. I don't care who you send down there. The fact is, you could send one who was raised from the dead down there, and they still would not hear him. They heard the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw him. He was raised from the dead. And yet many still didn't believe. Still didn't believe. Also, I want to point this out, and I said I'd give you this. If this were talking about the gospel dispensation, he says this right here. He says, there is a great gulf with us. So that they which would pass from his to you cannot. Remember the Lord looked out over Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, the stones of them that are sent to thee. How often I gather thee together as a chick doth gather her hens, or a hen doth gather her chicks, but thou wouldest not. He said, I would have gathered you together, but you would not. Now do you realize there is a huge difference between would not and could not? Something that I would not do means that I have the power to do it, but I just wouldn't. Something that I cannot do is something that I don't have the power to do. I mean, I love my wife. She's getting ready to have our third child. You know, I hate to see her have to go through that, but I cannot have that child. That's physically impossible for me. Thank goodness. I joke about that, son. That is really true. That is... I don't wish that pain on her either. Don't get me wrong. But see, I'm making a point here. What I would do and what I cannot do are two different things. You know, I might say, Brother Bill, I'm going to your house after church today and come into service. I wouldn't go. Well, I had the power to go. All I had to do was get in my car and go. But I wouldn't. But if I say, Brother Bill, I can't go. You know, in other words, there's something else. There's something that I am not able to go. Say there was an emergency. Say, Lord, I went into labor pains right now, brother. I'd love to go, but I cannot go. I don't have it in my power to be able to do it. I could do it, of course, but in this situation here, but I'd rather not. But to say I would do something and I could not do something are two different things. The Lord told Jerusalem that he would have gathered them together, but they would not. They would not come in because of the hardness of their own hearts. And here he says that they that pass cannot. And if they cannot do it, you know what that means to me? They are not. Because there's a decree there by God that there is no passing between the two. I'll guarantee you, whenever we get to heaven, there will not be a mass exodus to get into heaven. And I'll guarantee you, my friends, there will not be a mass exodus for people in hell to get into heaven. Because there will be a great gulf fixed, which they cannot cross over. If there was a means for them to get through there, you can rest assured they'd do that. But there won't be one more, and there won't be one less. He says, I have five brothers. He said, Abraham, so they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, now your father Abraham, but it was women to them from the dead. They were with him. He said, I have him. They did not. They did not Moses and the prophets. Neither were they being persuaded that one was from the dead. Now, about 5 minutes. I'm going to go through here. Just quickly, put up 24th chapter of Matthew. Tell me something about this rich man. The Bible doesn't spend a whole lot in Luke's version. I'll tell him a whole lot about this man. The 25th chapter of Matthew, that's a good chapter for us. And then the Lord comes to him, he separates his two of them. As a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he tells them this. This is the king shall say to them on his right hand, come and bless to my father. Had the king prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hunter, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer you, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and fed thee, and thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in naked, and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick, and prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer you, saying, Lord, verily I say unto you, and as much as you can, to know at least is my ground. See, what the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about that rich man. It doesn't say a whole lot about anything about it. But I can rest assured about this. There was no law in his heart. We've got to do it in order to get that one. This here is used to describe someone who all has it. Who are they? They're the people that love the government. They're the ones. It doesn't matter where you're rich or poor. You don't have to worry about others. Love them, fellow man. And love one another. You don't get that one. Remember this. That's a guarantee that at least it is. No, it's certain. Don't. Also. The rich one. Some give you a description of what they are. He says this. This was said in his left-hand apartment in the person where I was to buy her the devil with angels. But I was hungry. Gave me no meat. So I said, well, I was hungry. Gave me no meat. I was thirsty. He gave me no drink. I was a stranger. And took me out here naked in the parking lot. Sick and present and reduced. Here he said, well, also answered him, saying, what when saw with your hungry little friends were a stranger and they're just sick and and they're not messed around with. And so he answered him, saying, here I said, I'm living as much as I do it now. And one of the least of these, did it not, you know. And these, shall go over with, and the everlasting person, the righteous, and the balance. How long is the answer? That's just as long as the righteous. It's a time. It's everlasting. What is the point of him? It's the same hearts, goes to it. And it works. There's no other gentleman. There's no law. There's no law. What? I don't get nice with possible mother or son or brother. Seven. As far as love at home for the girl at night. Remember from the place. When I was saying, I'm not saying that so that they better get out of here and go right home and call up. Start trying to get all these good works in order to get this. I don't know, I'm saying my friends, the one of his, you've already done some of these things. Bring back over your lifetime. You've already done. We have to do more. I'm not saying we have to stop. But just a drink. And besides, sometimes, well, I just don't think I do that, well. How good would you be if you thought you were doing it? I said, boy, you think you'd be a lot better at it? Oh, yeah, I'd drink out of it. I would have to prepare sometimes, or I could get there. You know, I've done it, and I'm pleased to get you up. I've done lots of them again. And so, this is my business, and 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 not written, man. How was the name of the heaven? Step 4. Now, I was written, and 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 I'm going to go to the hospital. 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 I'm going to go to the hospital.
What?